नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। तो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टेशन। We have been discussing from the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So we have just entered into the section of the middle six chapters which discusses about bhakti. So in the first six chapters we discussed about guni bhuta bhakti, or where bhakti is secondary. The gradual transition from sakama karma to nishkama karma to jnana to ashtanga yoga to liberation, that we had discussed. Krishna did mention that between jnana and ashtanga, ashtanga is better. Tapasvibhyo adhiko yogi jnanibhyopi mato adhikah karmibhyascha adhiko yogi tasmad yogi bhava arjuna. This is what he mentioned in the penultimate verse of the sixth chapter. But then he did not say that a yogi is better than a devotee or a bhakta, because bhakti yoga has not yet been seriously discussed in the first six chapters. So in the last verse of the sixth chapter, he introduces bhakti. So that sixth chapter, 47th verse, is a very landmark verse actually. It describes the process of bhakti in many intricate ways. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana taddavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. So very clearly Krishna says that person madgate na antaratmana. So one whose mind is completely absorbed in Krishna, which means for him Krishna is his goal. Krishna is not just a means to attain some goal. Krishna is goal. Madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate. On one who worships Krishna with great faith, he says same yukta tamo mata. He is the best amongst all yogis. And then he explains what that bhakti is. Starting from the first verse of the seventh chapter, he says, Maya Saktamana Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashrayaha Asamshayam Samagramma Yatagyasasi Tatshuno. He says, he describes that path of bhakti where he says, Shraddhavan Bhajate. What is this Bhajate? What does this bhajan? What does it mean? He says, such a person. Who is this yogi about whom Krishna is talking so highly of? He has not described him in detail yet. So who is this yogi? He says, "Mai asakta mana." This yogi's mind is not attached to swarga. It's not attached to moksha. Then what is it attached to? It is attached to Krishna. So, "Mai asakta mana" means Anyabhilashita shunyam. He has no other goal other than a relationship with Krishna. Maya saktamana partha. And yogam yunjan. He wants to establish a relationship with Krishna in one of the five rasas. And then he says, madashrayaha. Means he has surrendered to Krishna alone. He has not surrendered to the demigods. And he has surrendered to Krishna through the process of Navada Bhakti. So, which means his practice is Jnana Karmadi Anavrita Bhakti is his practice. Okay. So, yes. Then, after discussing this, he says in the next verse that Jnanam teham sa vijnanam idam vakshyam yasheshatah yadhyatva neha bhuyonyad yatavyam avashishyate. He says, अशेषतः ते अहम वक्ष्यामि, आई विल कंप्लीटली एक्सप्लेन टू यू. ज्ञानम स विज्ञानम, नॉलेज ऑफ माई पवर्स एंड नॉलेज अलॉन्ग विथ नॉलेज ऑफ माई स्वीटनेस, आई विल डिस्क्राइब टू यू बोथ. यद ज्ञात्वा, व्हाट डू आई स्टैंड टू गेन बाय नोइंग दिस ज्ञान एंड विज्ञान. ही सेज अन्यत् ज्ञातव्यम् न इह भूयो अवशिष्यते, नथिंग एल्स रिमेन्स टू बी नोन. Once you know this, so like that he says. Okay, so jnanam refers to knowledge of Krishna's powers, and vijnana refers to knowledge of Krishna's sweetness. Okay, so we saw last time that how knowledge of Krishna's powers is very important to develop attachment to Krishna. So without properly understanding the knowledge of Krishna's powers, it is not possible to have a proper attraction to Krishna's sweetness. It becomes like a kind of sahajiya kind of attachment, or a very much a material kind of attachment to Krishna and his pastimes. So therefore it is very critical that one in the initial stages understands about Krishna's powers. So like that he says, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam vetti tatvatah. So he says, amongst thousands of men, some attain success in their endeavors. Okay, amongst those who attain success, hardly anyone knows me. So here Srila Vishnu Acharya Thakur writes that knowledge of me and realization of me are rare for the jnanis and yogis who were described in the previous six chapters. So what Krishna mentions here is manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. So amongst thousands of men, only hardly a few attain success in their endeavors, like the Jnana Yogis, the Ashtanga Yogis who have been discussed in the first six chapters, and also some Bhakti Yogis very rarely. Amongst those who attain that success, hardly anyone knows me, which means the Jnana Yogis and the Ashtanga Yogis cannot know Krishna completely. So he says, first the Lord speaks of the rarity of realizing the sweetness of the Lord amongst these persons. Yeah. So very rarely people understand the sweetness of Krishna. Amongst the countless jivas, one may be a human being. Amongst thousands of humans, one may work for spiritual progress. Amongst thousands who work for spiritual progress, only one will know me. Only one person will directly realize me truly in the form of Shyam Sundar. This implies that the bliss of personal Brahman is 1,000 times greater than the bliss of realization of the impersonal Brahman because of the rarity. Like that. So then, because he has promised that jnanam teham sa vijnanam, I will give you knowledge of my powers and knowledge of my sweetness, he starts by describing the knowledge of his powers. First, he talks about Krishna's energies. Bhumi rapo analo vayu kammano buddhi revacha ahankara iti yamme binna prakritir ashtada. So he talks about the what constitutes material energy. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, along with the five tanmatras of rupa, rasa, sparsha, gandha and shabda. So that becomes 5 plus 5, 10. Then there is mano, buddhi and ahankar. Here mana refers to pradhan, buddhi refers to mahat tattva, and then ahankar. So you have already 5 plus 5, 10. Pradhan is 11, mahat tattva is 12, false ego is 13, But false ego also has five karmendriyas, five jnanendriyas. Okay. So that is 23 plus 10, sorry, 13 plus 10, which is 23. And then products of false ego are also mind and intelligence, which is 24, 25. So there are 25 elements, but if you, all these 25 are products of pradhan. So products of pradhan are 24. That is how you get the 24 number. Etat chaturvimshatikam ganam pradhanyam pradhanikam viduhu. Like the third canto Kapila Dev says. Etat chaturvimshatikam ganam pradhanikam viduhu. These 24 elements are called as products of pradhan. So if you include pradhan, it is 25. Okay. Like that he says, that Krishna says, these 8 which expand into 25, may bhinna prakriti. These are my separated energy or bahiranga shakti. Okay. Like that. So, and then in the next verse he talks about, but there is one more energy. In the previous verse, whatever I mentioned is my apara prakriti, my inferior energy. But there is a superior energy of mine, which is the jivatma. He says this. Apareyam itastu anyam prakritim viddime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. He says, iyam apara. Whatever I have discussed in the previous verse is my inferior energy. Vidditu, but you should understand, me param prakritim, my superior energy. Itastu anyam, which is quite different from this inferior energy. Okay. Jiva bhuta mahabaho, oh mighty armed Arjuna, it is the jivas. Yaya idam daryate jagat. Who employ the inferior energy to their enjoyment. The jivas try to utilize this inferior energy to their enjoyment. Therefore, the jivas are considered to be superior energy. So, it is also inferior because it is unconscious, but the jiva is conscious. Okay. So, and also because the conscious jiva employs the unconscious prakriti for his own enjoyment, that is also another reason why jiva is considered to be superior. And then Krishna said, Yetad yonini bhutani sarvani tyupadaraya aham krishnasya jagatah prabhava pralayastata. Upadaraya, understand my dear Arjuna, sarvani bhutani, that all things that you see in this universe, yetad yonini, they have their origin in these two energies of para prakriti and apara prakriti, the jiva and matter. Whatever you see in this world, they have their origin in these two energies. But tata, and then aham, but I am prabhavaha pralayaha. I am the origin, I am the dissolution. Krishnasya jagataha, of every single thing that you see in this universe, I am the origin and dissolution. Okay. So how is the Lord the cause? The Lord is the cause because these two energies which are mentioned to be yonini, which are said to be the origin of everything in this universe, they are Krishna's energies. So therefore, ultimately, Krishna is the cause. Etad yonini bhutani sarvani tyupadaraya. Aham krishnasya jagatah prabhavaha. How is Krishna the cause? Because the jiva shakti is his shakti. The bahiranga shakti is his shakti. So basically, ultimately, if you are ascribing a shakti to be the cause, in reality, it is the shaktiman who is the cause. So therefore, in that sense, Krishna is the cause of manifestation. Okay, so And Krishna is also the destroyer of the universe, because after destruction, whether it is the jivas or matter, everything goes inside and merges into the body of Krishna. Not Krishna, but Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. So when Krishna says, Aham Krishnasya Jagataha Prabhava Pralayastata, I am the origin and the dissolution, and the cause and dissolution of everything of this universe, actually, that is Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. But because Karanodaka Sai Vishnu is an Amsha of Krishna, Krishna, who is the Amshi, he can tell, I am the cause. There is nothing wrong. That is why throughout Bhagavad Gita, I have spoken this many times before. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, if you see, Krishna uses the word aham, maya, these kind of words to indicate his expansions. Even though, like for example, he says that sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So Krishna says, sarvasya cha aham hridi sannivishtaha. So, I am present in everyone's heart. So, Krishna is speaking, Arjuna. Krishna says, I am present in everyone's heart. So, is Krishna present in everyone's heart as Krishna? No. Shirodaka Sai Vishnu. Because Krishna is the Amshi, therefore, he can address the Amsha. When he is talking about Damsha, he can say that I am present in everyone's heart, there is nothing in it. Okay, because the Amshi can claim that. Okay. Whereas Shirodaka Sai Vishnu cannot say that I performed pastimes in Vrindavan. You know, that he cannot say, because he is the Amsha, he cannot claim to be performing the role of the Amshi. But in one sense, sometimes that is also not incorrect. Because he was also participating in those pastimes. Whenever Krishna descends, all his incarnations also descend along with him and his expansions. Okay. So in that sense, it is not wrong. But Krishna only can claim in Bhagavad Gita. Like for example, in this verse, Aham Krishnasya Jagataha Prabhava Pralayastata. So who is that Aham here? Is that Aham Krishna of Vrindavan? Is that Krishna of Dwaraka? Who? No, it is actually Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. Aham, he is Aham Krishnasya Jagataha Prabhava Pralayastata. But Krishna says Aham, nothing wrong, because Amshi, and Karanodaka Sai Vishnu is his Amsha only. Ultimately, Ekamurti Bahumurtikam, Bahumurti Ekamurtikam, you know, even though there are multiple manifestations, ultimately, it is one person only. Even though the other manifestations are real and eternal, but ultimately there is only one person. And that person is Krishna. There is only one Amshi, there may be multiple Amshas. So the Amshi can claim that I am doing it, even though it may be the Amsha who is doing it. So many places in Bhagavad Gita, if you had carefully noticed, you know, Krishna says so many things. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohana, that is Shirodaka Sai Vishnu. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Under my supervision, prakriti acts, he says, under my glance. That is actually Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. In this verse, Krishna says that, Aham Krishnasya Jagataha Prabhava Pralayastata, that is also Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. Krishna says also later that what is that? Maharshe Saptapurve Chatvaro Manavastata Madbhava Manasa Jata Yesham Loke Ima Praja. He says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that The Sapta Rishis and the 14 Manus are all my Manasa Putras, he says. Mad Bhava Manasa Jata. So now, are they Manasa Putras of Krishna? No, they are Manasa Putras of Brahmaji. But because Brahmaji is his Gunavatara, therefore there is nothing wrong when Krishna says they are my Manasa Putras. Like that, so many places in Bhagavad Gita, we long time back we did a small excess to, you know, we went through the 700 verses where Krishna says Maya, Aham, Mad, and all those things where Krishna is addressing himself. Very few times it actually refers to Krishna himself. Most of the times it refers to some of his expansions. This is, in one sense, if you see in Bhagavad Gita, there is very clear evidence that Krishna is the Amshi, because the Amshi has the right to address the Amshas, as you know, even though it may be an Amsha, Amsha may do that job, but Krishna may say, I did it. I am in everyone's heart. But someone may say, you are not there, it's Shiradaka Sai Vishnu who is there. Oh, but he is my Amsha only. Like that. Okay. So, this is where we ended our discussion last week. Before we continue today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, since anything anyone would like to share, ask at, you can please go ahead. Either raise your hands or type your questions in chat box, whatever you feel comfortable. Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion. Krishna continues. He says, Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya mayi sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. Mattaha, to me, parataram, superior, na anyat kinchid asti. There is nothing that exists which is superior to me. There is nothing superior to me which exists. O Dhananjaya, O kind of wealth. Mayi, by me, sarvam, all, idam, protam, pervaded. Everything in this world is pervaded by me. Sutre manigana iva. Just as pearls are strung on a thread. So, when you see a necklace, you don't see the thread, you see the pearls. But it is, there is an invisible thread which is holding all the pearls together. Krishna says, I'm the thread which holds the pearls together. The pearls are everything in this world, the animate and the inanimate objects, they are like the pearls. I am the invisible personality who is holding everything together. Now, what does this verse mean? What does this verse mean? First thing he says is, Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti jananjaya. O Dhananjaya, there is nothing superior to me. Fine. Then he says, everything is pervaded by me as pearls are strung on a thread. So now, let us try to understand this. He says, because of this, I am everything that is expressed in this verse. There is nothing superior to me because I am both the cause and the effect. I am the Shakti and Shaktiman. So Krishna is the cause and Krishna is the effect. Because the effect is also his energy only. Okay. So as the Shruti says, Ekam eva advitiyam brahma. There is only one Brahman and nothing else. Neha nanasti kinchana. There is no variety at all. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says. Or ekam brahma dvitiya nasti. There is one Brahman and nothing else. So now, this is often quoted by the Mayavadis. And they make this into, you can say, like Mahavakyas. but these are actually there in the Shastras. These are not Mayavadi made statements. Ekam Brahma Dvitiya Nasti, Neha Nanasti Kinchana, Ekam Eva Advitiyam Brahma. So these are actually there in the Shastras. But they present a misinterpreted version of this statements, and they made it into Mahavakyas. So so what it actually means is there only one Brahman and nothing else? Yes, that is true. You may say, oh, then what about the Jivatmas? Oh, they are his Amshas, they are his Tatastha Shakti. So you can say, if you say that the king exists, and the king's, you don't have to separately say the king's energy also exists. If the king exists, he exists along with his energies. So therefore, what about the Jivatmas? Oh, they exist, they are his Tatastha Shakti. What about this material world? That is his Bahiranga Shakti. Oh, oh. So, Ekam Brahma Dvitiya Nasti means, if you consider this world and everything else is either his Amsha, and what about Paramatma? Paramatma is his Amsha. What about the avatars? They are his avatars. Ekamurti Bahumurtikam, ultimately they are only one. So what about the spiritual world? That is a manifestation of Antaranga Shakti. So ultimately, Ekam Brahma Dvitiya Nasti, because everything else that you see is a manifestation of his energy. So energy and energetic do not exist independent of each other. So you don't have to say, oh, this person exists and his ability to lift exists, his ability to walk exists, his ability to smell exists, his ability to hear exists, his ability to experience the sense of touch exists. You don't have to say like that. If the person exists, means he exists along with all his energies and abilities. So therefore, when the Shastras say Ekam Brahma Dvitiya Nasti, what it means is that the Lord, along with all these manifestations, which are like his energies and expansions, only he exists and there is nothing, no one exists. So the meaning is that there is nothing in this material world or in the spiritual world which exists, which is independent of Krishna. Pratiyartam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyadatmano mayam yatabaso yatatamah. As Prabhupada explains, what is maya? Maya means one's inability to see an object's connection with Krishna. That is maya. Okay. So therefore, Ekam Brahma Dvitiya Nasti. Okay. So what the Mayavadis, they say, they first define that Brahman means he is formless, nameless, qualityless. So that they define that way. And of course, there are Shrutis which talk about that also. But all that means is the Lord has no material name, no material form, no material qualities, etc. So, but they take it in an absolute sense to mean that he can have no qualities at all. Okay. So, Ekam Brahma, then you say Ekam Brahma Dvitiya Manasti. Then, based on that, they logically conclude, therefore, whatever else you see is Mithya. Brahma Satya and Mithya. So, this is their conclusion. But the Vaishnavas say, that Jagat is not Mithya. The Jagat which is made of the Jivatmas and the Jadavastu, they are his energies. So this is the difference between the Vaishnava Siddhanta and the Mayavadi Siddhanta. So they say that एकम एव अद्वितीय ब्रह्म, देर इज नो सेकेंड थिंग बिकॉज एवरीथिंग बिलोंग्स टू ब्रह्मन. सो दे से दैट वॉट एवर एल्स यू सी इज मिथ्या बिकॉज द शास्त्र से एकम ब्रह्म द्वितीय नास्ति, देर इज नो सेकेंड थिंग. बट द पॉइंट इज द वैष्णवाचार्य से द सेकेंड थिंग दैट यू सी belongs to the first person only. So the person exists along with these things. So this is the difference between Advaita presented by Shankaracharya and the Vishishta Advaita presented by Ramanujacharya. So according to Shankaracharya, that one Brahman is a homogeneous undifferentiated Brahman which has no qualities, no form, no nothing. So therefore whatever you see possessing form, qualities, etc., it's all false and illusory. Now, Ramanujacharya says, yes, you are right. There is only one Brahman. There is no second person. But that Brahman is not a homogeneous, undifferentiated Brahman. That Brahman is a heterogeneous, differentiated Brahman with all kinds of energies and qualities and forms and everything else, okay, like that. So that's what here it is mentioned. Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya mayi sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. Here it is mentioned that because of this I am everything, that is expressed in this verse. There is nothing superior to me because I am both the cause and the effect. I am the Shakti and the Shaktiman. As the Shruti says, Ekam eva advitiyam Brahman. There is only one Brahman and nothing else. Nehananasti kinchana. There is no variety at all. Having thus spoken about his own identity with everything, the Lord then speaks about his entrance into everything. Okay, he enters into everything as Paramatma enters. The whole universe, Sarvam Idam, composed of conscious and unconscious prakriti, is identical with me because it is my effect. The whole universe composed of conscious and unconscious prakriti. Conscious prakriti is jiva. The unconscious prakriti is matter. Is identical with me in the sense both are his effect. You know, Aham Krishnasya Jagataha Prabhava Pralayastata. So therefore, because he is the Prabhava, he is the cause, and the conscious and unconscious prakriti are his effects. Therefore, they are identical. Still, everything is pervaded by the Paramatma. I am in everything as pearls are strung on a thread. So he is not just the... So this verse says, I am not just the cause and destruction, I am also the source of maintenance as Paramatma. I am the source of maintenance as Paramatma. Okay. So, just like, you know, in one of the Bhagavatam verses, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, he says, Bhungte gunan shodasha shodashatmakaha सोलंकृशिष्ट भगवान वचांसि मे भूतैर् महद्भिर् यैमा पुरो विभुः निर्माय शेते यदमूषु पूरुषः भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मकः सोलंकृशिष्ट भगवान वचांसि मे. लाइक दैट ही मेंशन्स इन वन ऑफ हिज प्रेयर्स इन द सेकंड कैंटो. ही सेज दैट ही इज द षोडश षोडशात्मकः. ही इज द देयर द लॉर्ड इज एड्रेस द लाइफ ऑफ life of all the material elements. So the Lord is addressed as the life of all material elements. Now, we know that material elements are lifeless, right? That's why we call them jada, jada prakriti. You know, they don't have life. But Shukadeva Goswami says that you give life to the material elements. Like, what does it mean? It means he, as Paramatma, he enters them and allows them to exhibit their dharma. Salt is salty. Sugar is sweet. Water is liquidy. Even though all of them are inanimate objects, but they are able to exhibit their dharma because the Paramatma empowers them to exhibit their dharma. That is the meaning of Shodasha Shodashatmakaha. So when an element is unable to exhibit its dharma, then it is said to be dead. For example, even in the material world, we use these kind of terminologies. I will give you an example. We say, this battery is dead. Don't we say this? This battery is dead. What does it mean when we say this battery is dead? What does it mean when we say that the battery is dead? What is the meaning of that? Oh, this is a dead battery. Just throw it away, we say. What does it mean? It is not able to, it cannot charge, right? A battery is supposed to be alive. Or we say, oh, this, don't touch it. This is a live wire, we say, right? So, you know, is a wire alive? You know, it's a dead matter. So we say, we call it, oh, it's a live wire, don't touch it. Or we say, this is a dead battery, throw it away. What do you mean dead battery? Battery is anyway dead only. It's made of dead matter. But we call it dead because it cannot perform its dharma of charging. Okay. So, therefore, so the point is, Paramatma is the one. A salt is salt only because it is salty. And it can be salty only if the Paramatma is there in that salt and allows it to exhibit its dharma of being salty. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So Krishna, as one of his expansions of Paramatma, he enters into every single atom and between every single atom and empowers that atom of, or that molecule of sodium chloride to exhibit its dharma of being salty, right? So Krishna, in the form of Paramatma, again you see in the very next verse, he uses the word Mayi. Mayi means by me. Sarvamidam protam sutre maniganaiva. By me, everything is pervaded. By me means not by me as Krishna, but by me as my expansion, Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, in the form of Paramatma. Sutre maniganaiva, like that. So, still everything is pervaded by the Paramatma. I am in everything as pearls are strung on the thread. Okay. So, here, Madhusudan Saraswati says that being strung like pearls means only that everything is pervaded by the Lord and does not refer to material causality. Okay. A suitable example of material causality would be gold and gold earrings. So, I am pervaded means not that the Lord is made of matter. I am pervading everything means he is the active principle, activate matter to exhibit their dharma. But Krishna is not made of matter. Right? Krishna is not made of matter. That's what it means. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move forward to the next verse? Anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Yes, Keshav Priya Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranams Prabhuji.
Dandavat.
Prabhuji, this doubt I have for a long time, Prabhuji, since you talked about it today, I'm asking you, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you said Mayavadi say Brahmam Satyam and Jagat Mithya. Like, and Vaishnavas, we don't say that way, but sometimes Prabhuji, we like we also say do say tell the same, no Prabhuji, like this life is just an illusion, we are all just playing the role, it's a just drama, and the same thing they are also telling, no Prabhuji.
No,
so that is a
no,
point,
that is,
yeah
that
Prabhuji.
is not what they are telling. They
Oh.
say when
Prabhupada says,
this
no
is,
Prabhuji, this is daydream. Like the life we are living is daydream, or just like you have a night dream, and this life is also a daydream, a jiva's dream only. Like that, he's also telling, no Prabhuji. I heard is like,
yeah, yes, but there is a meaning to it, and when Prabhupada says, he means it in a different way. When the Mayavadis say, they say it in a different way. Okay, so when the Mayavadis say, when Prabhupada says what it means, or when the Vaishnavacharyas say, so this is, there is a verse in Bhagavatam which says this. Whenever there is a mention in the Shastras that this material world is an illusion, one should understand that it is temporary. That is the meaning of that. So, so that is the meaning of...
That's an illusion, so, also, no Prabhuji, because we are, you know, this body, then we are identifying ourselves with this body is illusion only, no Prabhuji. For us also,
let
it's
me complete,
illusion.
Madhu. Let me complete.
Sorry, Prabhuji. Correction.
So, when we say illusion, there are two types of illusion. One is, you see something when it is not there. That is one type of illusion. The second type of illusion is, you see something as something when it is something else. Two types of illusion. So, you are wearing a red colored cooling glass. You are seeing everything as red. So, which means, whatever you see is not what it looks like. It looks different. Not everything is red. Some things may be red, some things may be white, some things may be brown, some things may be black, but you are seeing everything as red. So your vision is illusory. Okay, this is also called as illusion. But when the Mayavadis say as an illusion, what they mean is, when they say Jagat Mithya, means there is no Jagat only. You are seeing something where there is none. So that kind of an illusion, we do not accept. So when the Vaishnavacharyas say illusion, what it means is, Paropi manute anartam, tatkritam cha abhipadyate. So, when the living entity identifies with the body, that identification is an illusion. Body itself is not illusion. So, your identification with the body is illusion. So, there is a difference in which the word illusion is used by the Mayavadis and the Vaishnavacharyas. So, so they say, and they give an explanation for this. Okay. So, very beautiful explanation the Mayavadis give. They say that, look, if let us assume that there is a person who is blind, who cannot see form. Okay. Let us assume that that blind person is also deaf. He cannot hear anything. Okay. So, he cannot see. So, which means he cannot differentiate colors. What is red, what is black, nothing. Different colors don't exist for him, different shapes don't exist for him, because he is born blind. Let us say he was born deaf also. So there is sweet music, there is very harsh music, rough sound, sweet sound, nothing like that exists for him. Let us say that he was simultaneously born without an ability to experience smell. So there is no question of you know, something which is sweet smelling, foul smelling, you know, that smells like jasmine, rose and all that, that does not exist for him. Let us say he simultaneously was born without the sense of taste also. So he cannot taste something which is, you know, sweet, bitter, salty, pungent, nothing. Okay. Let us say simultaneously he was born without the ability to experience any sense of touch. So he cannot experience, you know, so the variety in the form of softness, roughness, and other types of textures, it does not exist for him. So he says that, they say, if someone is born without any of these knowledge acquiring senses, okay, so then for them there is no variety in the form of forms, colors, tastes, smells, sound, and textures or touch. So there is absolutely no variety. Correct? We say yes, correct, no doubt. So then they say, so you are seeing variety because you have eyes, ears, nose, tongue, everything, right? So what is your eyes, nose, tongue, everything? It is a product of what? It is a product of Bahiranga Shakti, Maya, Maya Shakti. So because it is, you are seeing variety only because of Maya Shakti. Therefore, in reality, they don't exist. You are able to experience variety only because of your eyes, nose, tongue, etc., which are all products of Maya. So in the absence of that, there is no variety. This is their explanation. But Vaishnavacharyas say, no, no. Yes, Maya Devi did give you a green glass or a red glass or a blue glass, because of which you are seeing things, all things blue, red, green, etc. But that does not, so Vaishnavacharya say, just because you are wearing this illusory glasses because of which you see everything green, therefore when you remove the glass, to say that nothing exists is not a very logical presentation. So Vaishnavacharya say, yes, because you are wearing glasses, green glass, everything looks green. The only thing that you can say is, everything does not look green. It looks green only because you are wearing this glass. Okay. So now, when you remove the glass, it means everything may look different from what you are looking right now. Okay. So your vision that everything is green is an illusion. But to say that the whole material world is an illusion in the sense it is non-existing. So that is why one mistake that the Mayavadis do is they give this example of Rajju Sarpanyaya. Rajju Sarpanyaya means, Rajju means a snake. Rajju means a rope. Sarpa means a snake. So you look at a rope, it looks like a snake, and then it's an illusion. But the Vaishnavacharya say, look, you can say, yes, the snake is an illusion, but the rope is not an illusion. The rope does exist. Because you are seeing rope, you are mistaking it to be a snake. That is definitely an illusion, but the rope itself is not an illusion. So similarly, the body that you are seeing, your identification with the body as the self is an illusion. Your identification with this material world as a permanent place for you to stay is an illusion. But the body and the material world in itself are not illusion in the sense they are non-existent. But your identification with them, your understanding of your relationship with them, that is illusion. So therefore, there is a difference in which when Prabhupada says, oh, this material world is just like a dream in the sense, not that it does not exist at all, but you are assuming a relationship with it is an illusion in that sense.
Prabhuji, Shankaracharya only spoke about that consciousness. We are discussing in the other class also, no, Prabhuji, that four stages of consciousness and all. Shankaracharya also gave, no, Prabhuji, that Jagrati, Sushupti, and all those things, Turiya. And according to
I don't
them,
know what I, exactly, I don't know, I have not read Mayavad. I don't know what exactly he has spoken. Whether he has spoken about, he must have probably spoken, I don't know, but I have not studied.
Yes, I read it. Prabhuji, like he only explained that all those consciousness level, and according to them, in this
no, these are there in the Shastras.
Okay,
these are there in the Shastras. It's not like it's not a concept he created. Bhagavatam talks about Bhagavatam talks about this consciousness. So this is not something created by Shankaracharya.
Okay, Prabhuji. So in the lower consciousness, they mean to say that they're misidentifying with Maya. But in, when they reach the Turiya stage, then when they also they claim to be self-realized means then what will they realize, like Prabhuji? Like for us,
they will, it's not that they will in the self-realized stage. They will understand that I am not this body. They will not realize that, oh, there is absolutely no body. There is no material world.
Body, but they will be having the senses now, Prabhuji, existing with them.
Yeah, even if but they will not identify with it.
Oh.
They will not identify with it.
Okay.
So, they will say that I am existing independent of these senses. So, but they will definitely see their senses, they will see their body, they will see the material world around them. They will not think that this material world is false. They will understand that my identification with this body and my understanding of a relationship with this world, that is false. That they will
understand. This Vaishnavas only know, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
I'm asking them, Prabhuji, but they are also
them. They don't understand. They don't reach the stage of self-realization.
Oh, that is the point, Prabhuji. That is why it's confusing.
Mayavadis, so, they don't reach self-realization.
Oh, then it's I'm understanding, Prabhuji. Okay, yeah. Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anything else before we move forward? Okay, if there is none, we will continue our discussion. So Krishna in the previous verse said, Etad yonini bhutani sarvani tyupadaraya aham krishnasya jagatah prabhava pralayastata. And in this verse he said, Matta parataram nanyat kinchiti dananjaya mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. So in these two verses he says, I am the cause, I am the dissolution. And in this verse, he says, I am the source of maintenance of this material world. They are able to maintain themselves by exhibiting their dharma because as Paramatma, I am there in them, empowering them to exhibit their dharma. Okay. That is what he is indicating here in this verse. So now, let us move on. Then he says, Rasoham apsu kaunteya prabhasmi shashishuryayoho pranavah sarva vedeshu shabdakke paurusham rishu. So, this is explained, elaborated here. Mayi sarvam idam protam. Everything is pervaded by me. That is described in this next verse. He says, Raso aham apsu kaunteya. Apsu, up is water. Apsu means of water. Aham rasaha. I am the taste of water. The essence of water is taste. Okay. Prabha asmi shashi surya yoho. Shashi is moon. Surya is sun. Prabha asmi. Prabha means the light. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti. So I am the light of the sun and moon. Without the light, you know, a sun is not sun, the moon is not moon, right? So, like that. And then he says, Pranavaha sarva vedeshu. I am Pranava in the Vedas. Okay, which is the essential principle of the Vedas is the pranava or omkar. And then he says that and then he says Shabdakhe. I am the sound in the ether. Paurusham Rishu. So the Tanmatra or the essential principle of ether is sound. Of ether, it is sound. For air, it is touch. For fire, it is form. For water, it is taste. For earth, it is smell. So that's what he is telling. Okay. So I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and moon. I am pranava in the Vedas. I am the sound in the ether. Paurusham Rishu. I am the successful efforts of men. Okay. Paurusham Rishu means his ability to do something, because of which one is called a male. Purushatva. You know, that is Krishna. You know, that which distinguishes a human being to be a male. Okay. That is actually Krishna. So the essential principle in everything is actually Krishna. This is the meaning of Mayi Sarvam Idam Protam Sutre Manigana Iva. So he says, just as I have entered into the universe, which is my effect in the form as Paramatma, also I exist in the form of cause of those as sound in ether, or in the form of essence of those things as in success in men. So, Krishna, so this verse is Krishna is also the source and the essence. Okay. So now, if you see the universal creation, which is described in the second and third cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, okay. So, from sound comes ether. From ether comes touch. From touch comes air. From air comes form. From form comes fire. From fire comes taste. From taste comes water. From water comes smell. From smell comes earth. Okay. So generally the tanmatra or the sense object that gives rise, that is subtler than the element. So therefore, when we say, you know, everything started with sound. So it talks about this elemental creation. In the elemental creation, sound was made. Sound came first. From sound, the material element of which sound is the tanmatra, that is created with ether. Then ether gives rise to touch, which is a grosser tanmatra, but touch gives rise to air, like that. So when Krishna says, rasoham apsu, of water I am the taste. So taste is the source of water. So rasoham apsu konteya means Krishna is the source of water in the form of taste. Prabha asmi shashi surya yoho. Shashi and Surya are planets, and Prabha, I am the light. So which means he is the essence. The essence of the sun and moon is its light. Pranavah sarvavedeshu. This also means essence. The essence of all the Vedas is Om. Shabda khe. I am the sound in ether. Okay. I am the sound in ether. Sound is the source of ether. Okay. So therefore, here, Shabda K refers to he is the source of sound. Paurusham Rishu. He is the, you know, he is the success in man, indicates he is the essence. So in this verse, he says, he is the source of some and he is the essence of something else. You know, Shabda K Paurusham Rishu. So this is expressed in four verses. Okay. The water's taste, which is its cause, is a manifestation of my power. Likewise, one can find a similar meaning in the following, in the items following. I am light itself, which gives light to the sun and moon. So which means this is also a cause, source. I am Omkar, the source of the Vedas. So the Vedas come from Omkara. So he says that I am the source of the Vedas. Then he says, I am sound in the ether, as sound is the ether. There is a footnote by His Holiness Banaswami Maharaj. Sound gives rise to ether, touch gives rise to air, palm gives rise to fire, taste gives rise to water, and smell gives rise to earth. We have already seen this, right? Okay. So I am the distinguishing efforts of men, since effort is the essence of human beings. So in this way, Krishna says, I am either the cause or I am the essence of everything that you see in this real world. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Any quick discussion points, questions, comments? Okay. If there is none, yes, the cheaper and true.
Puja, this I never understand how, you know, source of, you know, ether, so the sound is the source of ether. So how, is it any logical reasoning behind this project?
Is there any logical reasoning? There must definitely be some logical reasoning, but whether I understand that logic or no, there must be some logical reasoning to it, but I don't understand that logic or I don't know of that logic. So the point is that the subtler things give rise to grosser things. So the subtlest is sound, grosser than that is ether, grosser than that is touch, grosser than touch is air, grosser than air is form, grosser than form is fire, like that. So the creation starts from the subtlest to the grossest. That is an observation. But is there a logic to it? Yeah, in one sense there is logic to it. But it's not a complete logic. I don't understand, but the thing is, you know, the atom is the subtlest. You know, molecules are grosser than atoms. So atoms give rise to molecules. So then molecules combine together to form, you know, complex, bigger molecules. And then they combine together to form, you know, objects. So in one sense, if you see, the subtler things give rise to, you know, grosser things, even in according to modern science. So, but this is not exactly this logic, but in modern science, you don't see air giving rise to water or sound giving rise to air and these kind of things we don't see. But this is during the elemental creation. So now, once there is a functional universe, I am not very sure if still creation happens this way. But we are talking at a stage prior to the functioning of this universe. This is called as Prakrita Sarga. So Prakrita Sarga is primary creation, and So even in Prakrita Sarga, this is talking about, this is Prakrita Sarga, elemental creation. So during the stage of elemental creation, this is how it happens. So what exactly is the logic? There must certainly be some logic, but I have not heard an explanation of this logic in the writings of the Acharyas as far as whatever I have studied.
Yes. Thank you, Bruce.
Hare Krishna. Anything else anyone would like to share as add? Okay. If there is none, we will continue our discussion. Mistake. Just give me a second. There was a problem with the cut paste. So just give me 1 second. I'll correct this mistake. So it has to be Punyo Gandha Prithivyamscha Tejas Tasmi Vibhavasau. By mistake, I did not change the verse because I just took it from the sixth chapter. So I didn't make a change here. So I apologize. Just give me a second. I am just adjusting it. Okay. Okay. So here Krishna says, so these verses are similar verses. Punyo gandha prithivyam cha tejas chasmi vibhavasau jivanam sarva bhuteshu tapas chasmi tapasvishu. Punyo gandha prithivyam cha. Punyaha means pure unadulterated. Okay. So this punya has to be added to everything else. Punyo gandha prithivyamscha. I am the fragrance of the earth element. Okay. So, as we saw, if you see, gandha is the cause of earth. You know, we saw in this, you see here, smell gives rise to earth. So in that sense, he is the cause of earth through smell. By being smell, like that. Punyo gandha prithivyamscha tejas chasmi vibhavasau. He is the heat in fire. So here, fragrance of earth is source. Heat in fire is essence. Okay. The essence of fire is heat. Okay. Jivanam sarvabhute. The life in all living entities. This is essence. Okay. Because this is what distinguishes living entities from non-living objects. Is life. Right. So that essence of the living entities, which is life, is Krishna. Tapas chasmi tapasvishu. I am the austerity in the tapasvi. So this is also the essence. Okay. Punya means pleasing or natural according to the Amarakosh. I am the natural fragrance earth element. Cha indicates that this statement applies to all the elements. So it means Punyo Gandha Prithivyamscha. Punyaha Punyo Rasoham Apsu. I am the pure taste of water and the pure fragrance of earth, like that. Thus, I'm the pleasing taste of water, the pleasing form of fire, as well as the natural fragrance of the earth element. So the word punya has to be added to every element that has been described by Krishna. Okay. I am the power of fire, which is the essence. That which can burn, illuminate, and relieve cold in all the things. I am the lifespan of all entities, which is their essence. I am the toleration of suffering, the essence of those performing austerities. Tapaschasmi tapasvishu. So there is a footnote here. In this verse, the Lord is the essence of all items except the fragrance of earth. Fragrance is the cause of earth. You know, we saw this before. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask that. Okay, let's continue then. Bijam mam sarva bhutanam viddhiparta sanatanam buddhir buddhimatamasmi tejas tejasvinamaham. Mam Viddhi, please understand that I am Sarva Bhutanam Sanatanam Bijam. Bijam, cause, Sanatanam, original. Sanatanam is eternal, original, cause of all living entities. Mam Viddhi, please understand that I am the eternal original cause of all living entities, O son of Pritha. Buddhir Buddhimatam Asmi, I am the intelligence of the intelligent people. This is the essence. Okay. Even though intelligent people possess body, mind, intelligence and everything, but that which distinguishes intelligent people from non-intelligent people is intelligence. So the essence of intelligent people is intelligence. So therefore, I am the intelligence in intelligent people means I am the essence. Okay. So, Tejas Tejasvinamaham. Tejas Tejasvinamaham. I am the majesty of the majestic. This is the essence. Okay. So, there is a question in the chat box. What does Krishna want us to understand through these kind of descriptions? This he is going to tell in the 12th verse, I guess. Let me see. Yeah, in the 12th verse, he is going to tell this. So, what he means. His all-pervading feature is certainly one of the things which he wants to say. Even though Krishna has told that etad yonini bhutani sarvani tyupadaraya, everything that you see in this material world is made of either the paraprakriti form of jiva or aparaprakriti in the form of matter. But just to show that this, even though he has already mentioned apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime vidhi me param, so this our binna prakriti bhumirapo analo vayu kammano buddhi revacha ahankara itiyam me binna prakriti rashtada. Even though very clearly he has told this binna prakriti and para prakriti are my prakriti, he has mentioned how as Paramatma he is clearly indicating that the binna prakriti and para prakriti also needs his empowerment in the form of Paramatma. So his all pervading nature, the energies in themselves cannot maintain. So the energies also need to be energized by Paramatma. Okay. So that is indicated here. So even though, so the energy has for its functioning, it needs the empowerment by Paramatma. Okay. So that is being indicated here. So I am the eternal original cause of all entities. Because when we keep reading about energies, 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 some point you may very unconsciously think that the energies are independently functioning. It is very natural to think way. So therefore, time and again, Krishna says that, yes, no doubt, earth is matter. It is my Bahiranga Shakti. But my pervasion in that earth also, in the form of smell is there. Punyo gandha prithivyamscha. Therefore he keeps telling this aham 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 to indicate that these are my energies, and these energies do not function without my empowerment. Okay, like that. So he says, bija or seed means he is the cause before transformation, the pradhan. Okay, so this is the meaning. Bijam mam sarvabhutanam. I am the original cause of all living entities. Okay. Viddhi partha sanatanam. Sanatanam means eternal. Intelligence is the essence of the intelligent persons. So therefore he says, I am that intelligence. Then he continues. Balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bartarshava. So he says, balam balavatam cha aham. I am the strength of the strong. Kama raga vivarjitam, which is devoid of lust and anger. I am the strength of the strong, which is devoid of lust and anger. Bhuteshu kamaha asmi. I am that lust in living entities. Dharma aviruddha, which is according to dharma. O Bharata Rishabha, O best of Bharata. I am the strength of the strong, which is devoid of lust and anger. I am that lust which is according to dharma. Why is he saying this? He says, balam balavatam chaham is very clear. This is the essence. I am the strength of the strong, not displayed out of anger or used with the desire to maintain one's own lifestyle. Okay. So which means this is an unnatural thing. So, because of lust and anger, which may agitate that strength. So that is an unnatural trigger for it. But even without the trigger of anger or lust, the natural strength, which is there in a strong person, I am that strength. But these unnatural triggers of lust and anger become an unnatural cause for it. But the natural cause of strength of the strong, I am that strength, Krishna says. Okay. And I am lust, not contrary to dharma, directed towards one's wife only for the production of children. Okay. So I am that lust, which is not contrary to dharma, which is directed towards one's wife only for the production of children. Okay, like that. Then, now this comes to the question which was asked, why is Krishna telling all these things? You know, what does he want us to learn? He says, ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye mattaye veti tan viddhi. Natvaham teshu te mayi. Viddhi, understand, O Arjuna, that ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye, that all things in sattvaguna rajoguna tamoguna mattayeva, they all come from me. Natu aham teshu, I am not in them, te mayi, but they are in me. So understand that anything that you see in this world, which is a product of sattvaguna, rajoguna, or tamoguna, are products of sattvika ahankar, rajasa ahankar, tamasa ahankar, everything that you see in this world, they all come from me. I am not in them, but they are in me. What does this mean? Okay. So here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, the expressions of my powers are vibhuti, being the cause of things or the essence of things, and being the living entities such as Rakshasas have thus been mentioned to some degrees. So he says that either I am the cause of things or I am the essence of things. Cause of things is rasoham apsu kaunteya. This is cause. Okay. And essence is balam balavatam chaham. Okay. This is essence. Okay. The expressions of my powers, being the cause of things or essence of things, and being the living entities such as Rakshasas, have thus been mentioned to some degrees. There is no need to list these more extensively. All things are dependent on me and are an expression of my power. Everything that you see is an expression of my power or my energy. Okay. Those things in the mode of goodness, like sense and mind control and the devatas, and those things in the mode of passion, such as lust and pride and the asuras like Hiranyakashipu, and those things in the mode of ignorance like lamentation, illusion and the rakshasas, these are all the products of the guna of prakriti belonging to me. Ye chaiva satvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye matta eveti tan viddi natvaham teshu te mayi. So whatever you see, you know, there may be qualities or personalities. Sense control, mind control, these are qualities born out of mode of goodness. The devatas are personalities who are predominantly in mode of goodness. Okay. Or lust and pride, which are quality mode of passion, or asuras like Hiranyakashipu, their personalities who are predominated by mode of passion, and lamentation, illusion, anger, etc., are personalities in mode of, which are qualities in mode of ignorance, are personalities influenced by mode of ignorance like the Rakshasas. Understand that these are all products of gunas, and these gunas are belong to prakriti, and this prakriti belongs to me. So, and then he says, ye chaiva satvika bhava rajasas tamasaschaye matta eveti tanviddi natvaham teshu temayi. Matta eveti tanviddi, but they exist in me, meaning they are dependent on me. Natvaham natu aham teshu, but I do not exist in them, means I do not depend on them like the jivas. So they are dependent on me because I am their cause and I am their maintenance, but I am not dependent on them. That's what Krishna says here. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Ask. I think there are some questions in the chat box, maybe like the Lord says, by knowing this, there will be nothing further to know. Then again, in some chapters, he says the same, for example, in the 9th chapter and 10th chapter. So how to understand this? First thing means, knowing this means not just the next few verses that he's talking about. So knowing this means the rest of Bhagavad Gita, what he's talking about. So there is nothing else that needs to be known. Means beyond what constitutes Krishna's jnana and vijnana, knowledge of Krishna's powers and knowledge of Krishna's sweetness. Beyond this, there is nothing that needs to be known. But of course, to perfectly understand the knowledge of Krishna's powers and sweetness, there are certain prerequisites. One should know that. And to completely understand Krishna's powers and sweetness, it will take a long time, and that will attain perfection only when we achieve, when we reach the stage of prema. And once we reach prema, beyond that, there is nothing else that needs to be known. That is the understanding. That is my understanding of this. Okay. Anything else? Okay. If there are no further discussion points, questions or comments, then we will pause here and continue this discussion next Friday. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next Friday. Hope you all have a very wonderful weekend ahead. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Sonar Sakhi Mataji.
Prabhuji, you in the explanation in the comment that commentary, it was that you gave the example of rasa is the rasoam apsu kaunteya is the what do you say,
cause
how it was cause and not the essence.
It is the essence also and cause also, because as I mentioned in the prakrita sarga, in the elemental creation, it is described in Bhagavatam that rasa is from water is born out of rasa, and earth is born out of gandha, and fire is born out of rupa, and ether is born out of shabda, like that. So the tanmatra gives rise to the element, like that.
Yeah, can you give that Sanskrit word for born out of? What was given a reference for that?
Oh, in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Bhagavatam?
Means from where are you quoting? I don't know.
Oh, I am quoting from Bhagavatam. Huh. I can send you the reference separately. I don't exactly remember the verse from Bhagavatam where it says, but there is second canto, fifth chapter, somewhere in the middle of the chapter, there is this description. I can send you the reference for that.
Okay.
So thank you all very much. We will pause our discussion here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna.